Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Sexton's back at practice today. Today is the first day they really get a chance to apply and fix things that went wrong on Sunday against Minnesota. D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud will both meet with the media today, so that's worth sticking around for later on today here on Sports Radio 610. And we'll see what the injury report looks like. See if Joe Mixon has improved at all. Damian Pierce. See if this Tank Dell hand wrist thing that was a thing on Sunday, it was kind of being sloughed off after the game. See if that pops up on the injury report either. So we'll keep an eye on that for you guys today. It was interesting. There were two quotes on Sunday from both a post-game press conference and the actual player interview that was conducted on this show that had Clint Sterner and I looking at each other during the post-game show like, huh, that's a pretty transparent statement right there, you know, as far as maybe where this team was at mentally going into this game against Minnesota. This, in addition to all the physical issues and all the discipline issues along the offensive line with false starts and formation penalties and whatnot, I would say getting your mind right would be a big thing. Here was C.J. Stroud. This is interesting. C.J. Stroud following the game on Sunday. Take a listen.
They did a lot of things that we thought we were doing. We just, you know, weren't moving quick enough. We weren't executing. We weren't playing hard enough. And, you know, it starts with me. So just got to be better. I mean, it's, you know, something that I feel like we can be, it can be fixed. So it's nothing to hang our heads down about, but, you know, definitely can and will be better.
Nobody's killing CJ over that, but he did say the words, maybe we weren't playing hard enough. Which got James Harden, you know, well, I won't say got him run out of town. He himself ran himself out of town by asking for a trade, but it had people wanting to. James Harden would just openly talk about, like, yeah, we just didn't have the energy tonight, you know, like we.
Yeah, it, yeah. Well, no, I look, that Minnesota team looked like they came out for playing for blood,
way more
right?
focused.
Like
yes.
they wanted to. Yeah, they just looked like. Well, and that's why I honestly, I think that's why it's so easy to focus all that hatred and anger onto the offensive line, because I think that's the one position group that has all the feel of a team that just, like, not the young players, but I would say your marquee offensive tackles that kind of operate like guys who are made men, you know, like, yeah, this is the life and I'm living it and here we go. And it's the position group that's supposed to be the grittiest and the dirtiest, poor personal hygiene, all that. Like, they're supposed to be the big uglies. But they seem to be in cruise mode, even though they're the actual worst position group on the team right now. So that's frustrating. Your offensive tackles seem to be just cool, just being the guys they are, and I'm playing fine. No big deal.
Smelling good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they smell amazing.
I
bet they...
So I think there is something to that, because there were certain, like, you could see early in that game, okay, this Vikings defense is a really good defense, and they do some things that make it really hard to operate. And even the good plays early on, before the offensive line single-handedly knocked the Texans out of field goal range with their false starts.
Literally, that happened, yeah.
Like, you could tell that every reception was going to be a battle, you know? And it had to be a tight window throw. CJ made some really nice throws in this game that were probably are going to be lost to history because everything else was so abysmal. But CJ was dialed in. Yep. CJ, some of the throws he made in that game were specifically where they took advantage of the fact that the Vikings had disguised really well, but they've got defenders who are kind of racing to get to their spots because they start up, lined up at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. So CJ knows he's just got to dial it in there, and that soft spot's there, but it's only going to be there for a millisecond.
Yep.
And he hit those spots. Some of those connections over the middle of the field were really, really good. They were textbook. I think CJ was ready. It's just that there were too many other people who weren't ready.
Yep.
And a lot of times CJ was having to make those throws with people literally in his lap. And it just, it all boils down to the offensive line not being quite ready. And that, people will say, well, yeah, but that Vikings defense made the 49ers look bad, too. They didn't make the 49ers look nearly as bad as they made the Texans look.
Agreed.
The 49ers were able to run the ball.
Yes.
Without Christian McCaffrey in the game. The 49ers moved the ball pretty well multiple times in that game. They did, turnovers did them in.
Right.
They did look bad in that regard. But the Texans offense, I don't care what the box score stats are. The Texans offense looked way worse than the 49ers offense did versus the Vikings.
Well, the rushing is the thing. And the box score for the Texans looked just as bad as the eye test did there. You know, yeah. The Niners had a... Jordan Mason ran for 100 yards against the Vikings. Like, he had a good game against him. You're absolutely
and,
right.
But I could see, like, Cam Akers had to earn a lot of that yardage from behind the line of scrimmage.
That's right.
Even on the good runs. So yep. it was... The Texans were much worse versus that defense, just based on the eyeball test, than the 49ers defense was, offense was.
Speaking of Cam Akers, he was our guest on the postgame show on Sunday. Me and Clint Sterner had Cam Akers on. Take a listen to this as we further the thought that maybe the Texans not quite ready to handle being 2-0 yet.
Very aware of it as a team, you know what I mean? I don't think it's a problem. I just think we're too comfortable as a team sometimes, and knowing how good we are, knowing how much talent we have, knowing how the coaches, how they dial things up, I think we get too comfortable sometimes. And I don't think we're the team that people want to beat, you know, so being comfortable, that's not acceptable. You know what I mean? We have to come out every week, every game, and with the same mindset and same attitude, regardless of who we're playing, regardless of, you know, what the situation is. Being comfortable won't. That's not acceptable.
Yeah, he's someone who's been on a Super Bowl team. You know, like, yeah. He's seen it up close.
It is. I mean, it's something that, you know, Andy Reid will talk about this, that it's almost like every year the team needs to be reminded of how hard it was to win the previous year. That no matter what you do or how much talent you have, man, it's really, really hard to win. And honestly, think of it as an Astros fan. Like, I don't think anybody understands how hard it is to win a World Series right now than the team that's won more World Series than anybody in the last decade. Mm-hmm. It just because you've had your best team in this last 7-year stretch
didn't win
a World Series.
Yep.
It's just really, really hard to do. It did. For anybody that was worried that the Texans were getting a little too high on themselves and a little too comfortable and a little too cocky without having accomplished anything, you can claim victory in that regard. Because, and yet, it's almost unavoidable. Like, it has to come. At some point, you have to be reminded of it, no matter who you are, no matter how professional you are. This is something Tom Coughlin used to drill into us over and over again, that complacency is the human condition. Like, it is, it's just natural human tendency to relax a little when you think things are going well.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons he was just such a bastard to play for, because
right.
no matter how well you were playing, he was going to remind you that, you know, no, you're very close to sucking. So, and it was the right attitude to take. So, yeah, I think these guys needed to be reminded that, no, look, you're actually really, really close to sucking. No matter how good you are, you guys actually suck today.
Yeah, and the whole league feels like it's that this year, too. This, more than any other year, 3 games in, feels like, man, this thing is, which is maybe good for the Texans, like, this thing's wide open right
well,
now.
Well, this is a year, though, too, where the pendulum's starting to swing back, where all of these whiz kid OCs, offensive coordinators, that want to be brilliant passing game coordinators and everything else. You know, that's the thinking man's part of the game, Sean. The passing game. That's where the intellectually elite hang out. And now all of a sudden somebody handed him a wrench and told him to go fix the toilet. Because if you're facing nothing but high cover two shells and everything, you know what the answer for that is? Run the ball.
Yep.
But I don't know how to run the ball. I set up the run with the pass. Yeah, but you're not going to have a pass game now. I will not lower myself to this. I come from a wealthy family. Yeah. No, go fix the toilet.
Jeeves, where is my passing game?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of trust fund kids all of a sudden being thrown into a blue-collar job in a rough neighborhood, you know?
Oh, man, I love that. Oh,
somebody stole the laptop out of my car.
It's, dude, totally
It clearly wasn't their Bugatti. Why would they take the laptop from the front seat?
Totally relatable, because I can't fix anything and my car gets broken into all the time. I can't. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Let's circle back to the Astros. AL West champs again. I was listening in on other cities this morning, and I know the Astros are the 3 seed, but this is making it kind of fun. And I will tell you why these other cities and how they're viewing the Astros coming up next. Stay there.